So during Lent, we've been in this sermon series, which we've been calling You Are Accepted, just as a way of communicating the good news in the simplest way possible. You are accepted and loved by God. And then in the different weeks, we've been talking about, well, what about some things that we worry about that make us question, are we really accepted and forgiven and loved? Do we really belong to God and belong to others in this wonderful way? So today, Lazarus got sick. So what about when I'm sick? Now, we've all been sick, of course. Maybe some of you are ill in one way or another now. I was sick with pneumonia once on Christmas when I was young. I was so sick that I couldn't go with the rest of the family to the family gift opening at my grandmother's house on Christmas afternoon. I had no energy. I was just flat on the couch. And I remember that Christmas because my family had to send, you know, they took turns. So one person after another would come stay with me at the house and bring me little gifts along the way. So it wasn't terrible. I survived. I missed a week of school once when I had my appendix out. Some of you had your appendix out. Not a great experience, but I was in the fifth grade. It was during gym class. The teacher had us running laps around the gym, and I thought I was okay. I ran several laps. I'm like, well, this is weird. I don't feel good. And then my stomach started hurting really bad. I told her that I couldn't run anymore, so I went to the nurse's office. They called my mom. My mom showed up, took me to Dr. Weddle's office. I wasn't exactly sure at that point, fifth grade, where my appendix was. I certainly did not know that checking things out was going to involve a rubber glove and Vaseline. Did not see that surprise coming. My poor mother was there, 5 feet away from me, in the corner of the examination room, so the emotional scars from that experience, far worse than the surgical scar that I still have. It was very near to rupturing, so rushed me into surgery. I had surgery that day. It all went okay. I had a sore stomach, of course, but I ended up okay. In the spring of my sophomore year in college, I missed a spring break mission trip. I was very much looking forward to. They were going to New York City. I had come down with mono. I was very sick all that week. As an adult, some of you know this, I've thrown my back out 3 times in a serious way. These were periods when I simply couldn't walk. It was so bad. You can ask my children later for a play-by-play of the first time it happened in New York. I was wound up on the ground, couldn't move, couldn't stand up. I was supposed to take them to work with me. They were off of school. I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going anywhere. But then, you know, not too much later, I needed to go to the bathroom. And so they can give you all the details, but they watched and laughed as I crawled to the toilet and somehow pulled myself up on top of it and went to the bathroom. I'm not even sure now, looking back, how I accomplished that. It was a miracle. 2 different times when I threw my back out, it happened while, and I'm admitting this, while I was putting on my socks. So memo to any male nearing your 40s, do not put on your socks by sitting down, throwing one ankle up on the other leg and then bending forward. You cannot twist and bend. Don't do it. I had shingles once. It's not good. I've dealt with depression. I have fairly regular migraines that can put me out of commission for a whole day. So there's my list. You have your own list. I'm under no illusion that my troubles, that my illnesses are noteworthy or unique. They're not. I only mention these in the hopes of kind of stirring in your own mind your memories of times when you've been sick or times when you cared for the people you love when they were sick. One of the most fundamental experiences in life is the experience of being sick and of dealing with others we love when they get sick. Of course, we've all been sick. And of course, at one time or another, you've cared for someone else when they're ill. And so I want to invite you to hear this story, Lazarus' story, this morning, as a story of 4 people whose lives have been marked by sickness. Sometimes we're sick for short periods of time, and then everything goes well and we recover. Sometimes we're sick for longer periods of time and never return to full health. Now, I've never seen actual data or polling on this, but I suppose that religious people get sick and die at about the same rate as everyone else. That is, and this is somber, faith in God doesn't protect us, doesn't shield us from illness and death. Faith doesn't magically protect us from troubles that come our way. But perhaps our faith can help us reframe how we relate to those periods in our lives, this experience of sickness. Perhaps our faith can help us learn to include our periods of sickness and the sickness of those who are dear to us as important parts of our life stories. Now, Laura gave the kids one take on the Lazarus story, and it is true. I'm looking at a slightly different angle of the story, and one way to hear this story, the story of Jesus raising his good friend Lazarus from the dead, one way is to hear it as a story about God's love for people who are sick. Now, back up just a little bit. In John's gospel, there is a series of signs. This is the last and the greatest sign that John's gospel gives us. All these signs point us to the importance of putting our trust and our faith in Jesus as the Christ. These signs point us to God's love, to God's power to heal. They point us to life in the midst of death. This sign points us to Jesus' life and teaching as the story that most clearly expresses for us what God is like. This is the sign that Jesus is the glory of God made flesh, the one who weeps with us, the one who has moved greatly at our suffering and pain, the one who's been sick himself, and the one who heals. Nevertheless, this story is strange. This last and greatest of the signs in the gospel is an unusual one. While Jesus did heal some people, most people alive during Jesus' lifetime who got sick, they weren't healed. Most people who were blind didn't get healed. Most people who couldn't walk didn't get healed. Most people who got sick either recovered in the natural course of things or they ended up dying from their illness. Now, speaking of Lazarus in particular, Jesus said about this case, this illness will not lead to death. In that way, Jesus was acknowledging that most illnesses often do. The story does not encourage our secret hope to avoid sickness and death, just natural for us to want to avoid that, of course. But I think it can be helpfully read as a meditation on sickness. This story can help us raise questions that are hard to ask, and we rarely bring ourselves to ask them. What should we do with these periods of sickness in our lives? Is there anything that we can learn from these seasons of illness? How might we approach sickness or weakness or vulnerability as just part of my life so that its natural difficulty, the pain of being sick, isn't compounded and made worse by our interpretation of sickness as a kind of sign that God has somehow abandoned us? Now, the very first paragraph of the story in John 11 invites us to hear the story this way, as a story about illness. Now, a certain man was sick. That's how the story gets going. Five times in that opening paragraph, the word for sickness or illness is used. So, of course, it's a story about being sick, but it's also a story about how to be with those who are ill. It's also a story that is the most personal, intimate, tender picture in all of the gospel stories about Jesus himself. The story involves people that Jesus loves. These are Jesus' most close and supportive friends. Mary and Martha appear in a few other gospel stories. Here we're reminded that Mary is the one who anointed Jesus with perfume and wiped his feet with her tears. She loved him and he loved her. When the sisters communicate with Jesus that Lazarus is sick, they send a message saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." Now it surprises us, given these close ties of friendship, that Jesus, when he gets the word that Lazarus is ill, does not immediately leave for Bethany. Instead, he lingers across the Jordan River for two more days before departing for Bethany to be with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. The delay seems to have bothered and confused Jesus' disciples. It also seems to have confused these two sisters as well. By the time Jesus arrives, Lazarus has already been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. When Mary got word that Jesus was on his way, she went out to meet him before he ever got to the village of Bethany. And here's what she said, quote, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Later, the other sister, Mary, goes out to meet Jesus outside the village, and she says the same thing. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." So how do you hear the tone of this remark by the sisters? Given that Jesus was a long time getting there, and that it's now been 4 days since their brother Lazarus died, we might hear in these words something like disappointment and even frustration. "Jesus, we sent you word. You knew he was really sick. Why didn't you come? Are we not that important to you? You got here late." Or should we hear it more positively, as their confession in Jesus' power to heal? Were they simply testifying that Jesus could have healed their brother if he had been there? But now suppose we even take this second, sort of more pious interpretation of their remarks. Doesn't that also raise a kind of problem? Wouldn't it be a mistake for these two sisters to assume that their close and loving relationship with Jesus would have guaranteed a full healing for their brother? Wouldn't it be problematic after all if we assumed somehow that trusting in Jesus and confessing faith in him as the Christ is a kind of magical fix that would protect us and the people we love from illness and death? Sometimes John's gospel is criticized for picturing Jesus as a God striding across the earth. It gets criticized for kind of de-emphasizing the ordinary human side of Jesus, but not here in this story. Here we see Jesus reacting to the situation like we all do when we visit beloved family and friends who are sick or in trouble. We weep. Our hearts are moved. We bear in our own lives the heaviness of their ordeal and their suffering. We grieve because we anticipate potential loss. We grieve because we're not finished loving this friend, this family member yet. We grieve because our dreams for more time, more togetherness, more travel, that might not be possible. When Mary comes out to meet Jesus, she's accompanied by a group of friends who are grieving themselves. They're grieving with her. They're supporting her in the midst of her loss. Quote, "When Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved." And then as they began to lead Jesus to the tomb where his dear friend Lazarus was buried, Jesus began to weep as they walked together. Here he models for us what healthy, loving human beings do when the people they love fall sick and die. We weep. And our weeping bears witness to all the thousands of ways that we're connected to each other in love. Our weeping bears witness to the emotional richness of our lives. Our weeping bears witness to the fact that in our relationships we're woven together with other people. This is what makes loss so painful. It's the unweaving of life, the tearing of the fabric of who we are. So our grief, our sadness, is never a sign that we're weak or that we don't trust God. It's a sign that we have loved deeply. Jesus prayed to the one he calls Father. He asks his Father to help those who will witness this amazing sign to believe that he's the one sent from the Father. And then he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man walked out of the tomb, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, his face wrapped in a cloth, and Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." I don't want to underestimate the hope and the strength that this story makes available to us if we're willing to really hear it. Jesus Christ is among us with the power of God to bring life out of death. Lazarus died and was called out of death into life. Lazarus got more time, but Cedric was right, he would have to die again. Jesus himself died, and something importantly different happened. God raised up the crucified Christ to an indestructible and glorious life. And when Jesus was raised, the gospel writers tell us, the burial linens were folded neatly and in place because he was finished with them, unlike Lazarus. And so the death of those that we love is never a hopeless dying, and our own deaths are not a hopeless dying. Christ crucified and raised will call out with a loud voice, shattering and shaking all tombs everywhere, come out. And I don't understand what will happen next. And I don't pretend to be able to explain it to you or describe it to you. But I trust God with my life. I trust God with the life of those I love. And I trust God with the whole created order, of which we are all only the tiniest little speck. But we who will be called from death to life by this resurrected and resurrecting Christ are those who have been sick, and those who will all have to go the way of death. But here's some good news this morning. What God loves is fragile flesh. God loves us as the vulnerable, accident-prone, susceptible to disease, frequently ill people that we are. In life, things can go wrong, and things often do. That's part of life. A normal life is one that weaves in and out of periods of health and illness. The good news is not that we will avoid sickness and death, but that God has drawn near to us in the living Christ. And the good news is that we can receive sickness as part of our God-given lives, and even our death too. Our vulnerabilities and our weaknesses and our periods of illness, they are not embarrassments to be somehow hidden. By God's grace, these things can be welcomed as part of the lives that we live with God and with each other.